Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Mem Zion. For those listening online, this is Alicia Graf filling in just for today for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is in Baltimore at a Tcheles conference. So the rabbi left off yesterday towards the bottom of Kuf Mem Vavam Abeis. We'll pick up, I think we'll back up a little bit and sort of revisit the sugya that we left off with. But yesterday, toward the end of the shiur, the rabbi covered the Mishnah about a matnas shchiv meira, about a person who's on his deathbed and he gives a gift. And there are two cases in the Mishnah, one in which he gives a gift of a lot of his nechassim, but he leaves over some nechassim for himself. And the other case in the Mishnah is where he gives a gift of all of his nechassim. And the Gemara that we started seeing yesterday is a Gemara all about umdina. We had said, can we assess the person's mindset? Can we assess what he was thinking when he gave the gift? And how will that impact whether the gift is retracted or whether the gift is able to be retracted if the person actually recovers? And this is all toloi on whether we hold by umdina, whether we hold from umdina. So we saw yesterday two shitas and where we learn umdina. We'll start the shiur with those shitas, reviewing those shitas. The Gemara then is going to discuss why each shita doesn't hold like the other shita. And then most of the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph is going to focus on various sources, Mida Oraisa, for the concept of matnas shchiv meira. Because usually the halacha is that if a person is going to give a matana, that matana will require a kinyan. Usually you can only give something if there's an actual kinyan, if there's an actual acquisition. There are different means of making kinyanim, which we've been learning about throughout this mesechta, the previous mesechta. But a matna shchiv meira is interesting because a matna shchiv meira is unique in that the divrei shchiv meira is kichsuv and nechumisurin dami, that you can acquire a gift from a shchiv meira even if you don't make a kinyan just by words alone. So the Gemara is going to search for a couple of different sources for the idea of matna shchiv meira, trying to prove that it's actually a din de oraisa. The Gemara then, towards the bottom of the page, is going to talk about a few items of meteorological interest and significance, talk about the direction of the winds and whether the wind is good or bad for various crops, what omen there might be if the Yom Tov of Shavuos falls on a day which is sunny or maybe partly cloudy. We'll see some interesting things. And then the Gemara on Amud Beis is going to retract and basically say, oh, all those sources that I gave you for the notion that the matna shchiv meira is actually a din d'oraisa, actually not true, but it's actually a din d'rabbanan. So if it's a din d'rabbanan, we're going to have to figure out how the rabbanan were able to make this matana, this matna shchiv meira, have a super koach in that it's actually in that the matana is actually valid without a kinyan. So we'll see all that in today's daf, God willing. So let's pick up again. Why don't we start from the Gemara halfway down Kuf Mem Vav Mem Beis. We'll just review what we did yesterday quickly and then pick up from the new material. So says the Gemara, Man Tana Daz Linan Basar Umdina. Who is the Man D'Amar who says that we go after Umdina? Because again, what we said in the Mishnah was, if the Shchiv Meira left over some of his Nechasim, and then he recovers, and the matana that he gave is still valid. It's not retracted. Why? Because from the fact that he left over some nechassim, we assume that he had in mind he might recover, and that's why he left over some nechassim. If he thought he was for sure going to die, he wouldn't have left over any nechassim, because he has no use for nechassim after he's dead. But from the fact that he left over some nechassim, it shows that he thought he might recover, and therefore, if he actually does recover, the matana still holds. The matana is not retracted. Whereas, if he gave over all of his nechassim, so if a guy gives over all of his nechassim, it shows that he obviously thought he was never going to recuperate, because if he knew he was going to recuperate, or if he thought he was going to recuperate, then he would never have left himself bereft of nechassim, and therefore, if he actually does recuperate, then he can retract, because then it shows that he gave the matana with the smichas das that he's going to die, and if he doesn't die, then then the matana is not going to be a valid matana. But this is all based on trying to assess his mindset. So who's the man d'amar who says that we assess mindset? Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. So it says Rav Nachman, it's Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. D'tanya, reisha halach b'no l'medina sayam. A person's kid goes to Medina sayam, travels abroad, v'shama shameis b'no. And he hears that his son died, v'amad v'chasav kol nechasav li'achar. And then when the guy is ready to divvy up his Yerusha, he writes away all of his nechasim to a third party, to an unrelated party. V'achar kach babino. And then the son comes back from Dinas Hayam. Lo and behold, the report that his son died was false. Son comes back. So what happens now? So matnasa matana. So the Tanakhama says that matnasa matana. He wrote all of his nechasim away to the third party, and even though his son winds up coming back, and it turns out that his son's alive, still the matana is a valid matana. And Reb Shem ben Asi Omer e matnasa matana. Hidno is matana is not a valid matana. Why? And here's the key. She'ilmali hoya yodea she'beno kayam. Had the guy known that his son was actually alive, Lahaya Kosvan, he would never have written it away to the third party. And that's Umdindas, that's our Umdina, because we assess his mindset. Why did the guy write the Nechasim away to the third party? Because he thought his son was dead. Had he known his son was alive, he never would have done it. Therefore, if the son turns out to be alive, the Matana is retracted. And Rav Sheisha, some of Rav Shimon Shizuri, Rav Sheisha says it's actually the statement of Rav Shimon Shizuri. And what's that statement? Titania. Barishona Yomrim Ayotza Bekolar, if a person is going out to be executed, Vyomar Kisfu Get Lishti, and he says, write a get for my wife. But he never says Tnu, he never says to give the get to his wife. Hare Elu Yichtavu Viyitnu. Then in a situation like this, not only do we write the get, but we actually give the get. Chazru Lomar, then they said, not only is this the case of the guys being led to the execution, but Afa Mefaresh Vayotza Beshayara, also if somebody is going on a long trip, and back then travel was very dangerous, he was afraid he would never make it back, and he says Kisfu, then we assume he meant Tnu as well. Rav Shimon Shizuri Yomar Afa Mesuka, and Rav Shimon Shizuri said also a guy who's gravely ill, and says, Kisfu getli ishti, we make an umdana that he means not only Kisfu, but also Tenu. So again, Rabbi Leibowitz pointed out, Tosfos says, yesterday, the Tosfos that says that actually all of these mandiyamrim, all of these views hold from umdana. It's such a question of, in what case do we make the umdana? But Rav Shimon Shizuri cast the net the widest, and he says not only where the guy's being led to execution, where it's a sure thing that he's going to die, not only where he's going on a very dangerous journey, but even if he's stam, gravely ill, and he says kisfu, we assume that he means tenu as well. So says the Gemara, good. So now I have two sources for umdana. Rav Nachman, my time alo mukam laka, Rav Shimon Shizuri. Rav Nachman, who said that the source of umdana is like Rav Shimon ben Menasya, why doesn't he say that the source is like Rav Shimon Shizuri from this case of Kisfu, where we imply that he means Tenu, even though he never said Tenu. So Shani Yosam, the Amar Kisfu. Because over there is different, because he says Kisfu. So what does it mean? So says the Rashbam, that it's more than an umdana, really. It's not that we're assessing his mindset. It's that the guy said, write a get for my wife. And so the Rashbam says, what else in the world could the guy have meant when he said, write a get for my wife? He's writing it for his health or for her health. So they should have it here without giving it. Obviously, he means to give it, and therefore, that's not a raya of umdana. Rav Sheshes, my time, elam mukam lok, Rav Shimon ben Menasya. And why did Rav Sheshes not hold like Rav Shimon ben Menasya, learning it from the case where the guy had a son, and the son went abroad, and the guy thought that his son died, and therefore he wrote his nechasim to somebody else? So says the Gemara, umdana demuchach shani, because that's called an umdana. That's called an umdana demuchach. That's a super strong umdana. And even though we follow umdana in the case of a super strong umdana, maybe we wouldn't follow umdana in a regular case. Why is this a case of a super strong umdana? So says the Rashbam, Shekol Shman Shaya ben Okayam, because the whole time that his son was alive, Lo Nosan Ad Sheshama Shemes, he never wrote all his nechasim to his son when he thought it when his son was alive. It's only after he heard that his son died, all of a sudden the guy starts giving matonas of all his nechasim. Aval Chola Kivan Derov Cholam Lekayam. However, in the case where the guy's sick and now he's stam writing who's giving his nechasim to, since most cholim recover, vehu lo tziva machmas misa leka umdana demuchach kuli hai, that it's not as strong an umdana. In other words, by the case of the son, it's obvious what he meant, because the whole time that his son's alive, he never wrote a matana. Now, all of a sudden, his son dies and he's writing matana to a third party. That's blatantly obvious. But a guy is sick and he writes matanos to other people. Is there such a strong umdana that as to what he meant? No, because most people who are ill actually recuperate, and therefore we can't assess that he may have been thinking, oh, if I die, I want it to be a real matana, because nobody's mindset is that they're going to die. So says the Gemara Vayter. So mantana laha de tana rabbanan. So who's the author of the following brisa? Hare shahaya chole umutol bamita. If a person was a chole, he was bedridden. V'yamar lo nechasech lemi. And they said to the chole, who's going to get your nechasim? V'yamar lahen. They were trying to cheer him up, right? V'yamar lahen. And he said, domesh yesh li ben. I thought I had a son. Achshav she'en li ben, now that I know that I don't have a son, nechasai laploni, I want to give my nechasim to a third party. So what does it mean, doma she'yesh li ben? It means that he thought he had a son because he actually did have a son who was alive, and then he heard a report that his son died. So in other words, what he's saying is, well, kolzman that I thought I had a son, or kolzman that I had a son, I would have given my nechasim over to my son. Now that I know that I don't have a son, I want to give my nechasim to a third party. Or he says like this, hayecholo mutal b'mita, or he was sick and he was bedridden, v'yamar lo, and they said to him, nechasim l'mi, who do you want to give your nechasim to? And amar lan, and he says to them, domesh ishti mu beres, I had thought that my wife was expecting. Now that I know that my wife is not expecting because she had a miscarriage, then now I want my nechasim to go to a third party. And then it turns out he actually did have a son because the report that his son died was false, or his wife actually was pregnant because they thought maybe she miscarried, but it turns out that she didn't miscarry. So the guy basically says, the only reason why I'm giving my nechasim to the other person is because I thought I had a son, or I thought my wife was pregnant, then I found out that wasn't the case. But now it turns out that it is the case. So ein matnasa matana. Says matana is not a matana because he makes it clear why he's giving his nechasim away to a third party. So lema Rav Shimon ben Manasseh v'lo Rabbanan. Should we say that that brisa is going like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, who's holech basar umdana, but not the Rabbanan? So says the Gemara, no, afilu tamer Rabbanan domet shani. Even according to the Rabbanan, this is not an umdana. What's an umdana? An umdana is when the guy does something stam, and we try to assess what the guy meant just based on his actions. Here we're not trying to assess what the guy meant based on his actions. The guy says expressly, the reason that I'm giving my nechasim to the third party is because I thought I had a son and now it turns out that I don't have a son. Or I thought my wife was pregnant and now it turns out that she's not pregnant. So this isn't an umdana. The guy's basically saying expressly why he's giving it to the other person. Therefore, if it turns out that his tnai wasn't fulfilled, that the reason, the siba for him giving the nechasim to the third party was false, then of course the matana is not going to be valid. So says the Gemara, this is such a great distinction. Vidkarila, my karila. So what did the Gemara think at first? The Gemara thought to compare a case of a basic umdana to a case where the guy basically explicates, he says expressly why he's giving the matana, and we know that it's under false pretenses. There's no comparison. Says the Gemara, well, mal detema tsarahu de kamidkar kamash malan. Now, so I might have thought that he's not making this statement to show that he's actually being tole the guy who he's giving the matana to on the fact that he used to have a son. In other words, you might not think that he's actually making a tnai to the matana. You might have thought that the only reason that the guy is now lamenting the fact that he used to have a son or that his wife was pregnant because he's generally feeling sorry for himself. He's on his sick bed and he's very dejected. And in addition to the fact that he's sick, he had all these other tzaras. Maybe you would have thought that's why he's mentioning it. Kamash Malan, no. The reason that he's mentioning it is because he's explaining, and why am I giving my nechasim to a third party? Because I used to have a son and he died, or I thought my wife was pregnant and it turns out she's not. And so that's what this brisa is teaching us. But in any event, we can't learn that this brisa is only like Rav Shimon ben Manasseh, because this brisa, where it's even more than an umdana, could be going like the Rabbanan. Okay, so now we're going to get into what the source is for a matnas shchiv merah. So Amar Rav Zera, Amar Rav, minayin lamatnas shchiv merah shi'i min haTorah. How do I know that a matnas shchiv merah works even midaraisa? In other words, that it works even without a kinyan, because the usual way of conveying property from one person to another is with making a kinyan, either hagbah or meshicha or mesira, or there are different types of kinyan, chatzer, all different types of kinyanim, but usually you require a kinyan. How do we know midaraisa that matnas shchiv merah works even without a kinyan? Shenemar, because it says in the pasuk of Yerusha, v'havartem es nachloso lebito. Because it says in the pasuk, v'havartem es nachloso lebito. And says the Rashbam, davi motzi lemichtav ish kiyamus uben ein lo nachloso lebito. In describing the Seder Yerusha, it says, if a person dies and has no son, then the Yerusha goes to the daughter. The question is, why does the Pasuk rather use the Lashon of Avartim? It could have said, if the guy dies without a son, Nachlaso Labito. So Vavartim Yeseru, therefore Vavartim is Yesera. The word Vavartim is extra. And then the Rashbam quotes the Rach, who says that the Diuk is not from the word Vavartim. The word is from, the Diuk is from the word Es. There was no need to say va'avartem es nachloso labito. It should have said ish kiyamo subein einlo va'avartem nachloso labito. So the word es is extra, and from there we darshan that matnashchimera works midaraisa. And how do we make that drasha? So the Gemara explains, yesh lecha havara achere shehi kazu. There is another havara, there is another transfer of ownership that is like this, i.e. that is like Yerusha, which works even if you don't make a kinyan. Ve'ezuzu, and what method of transfer is that? Matna shchimera, that is a matna shchimera. Rav Nachman amar Rabba Baravua mehacha. Rav Nachman says in the name of Rabba Baravua that the source of matna shchimera midaraisa is from the following. Benasatem es nachloso le'echav. It says that if he doesn't have a daughter either, then venasatem es nachloso, then you give the nachla to his brothers. And says the Rashbam over here also, kray yaseru, this is an extra pasuk, the motzi lemichta ve'im ein lo bas nachloso la'achiv. It didn't have to say venasatem. It could just say that if he doesn't have a son, then it goes to the daughter. If he doesn't have a daughter, nachloso la'achiv. Why does it say venasatem? It says venasatem because yesh lecha nesina achere shehi kazu. There is another type of nesina like this, i.e. like the nesina by Yerusha, which works even absent a kinyan, ve'ezuzu, and what is that? Matnash chimera. That is a matnash chimera. So it says, okay, so now we have two sources for matnash chimera min haTorah, one from the word va'avartem, one from the word v'nasatem. Why does each maniyamar not hold like the other? Rav Nachman, my time alo amar mea vavartem. Why does Rav Nachman not learn this din from vavartem? Haumi boile lichid the Rebbe. Because he uses vavartem to teach me the din of Rebbe. What's the din of Rebbe? D'tanya, we learn in a brisa. Rebbe Yomer. Rebbe says, Bekula nemra bem nesina, v'kan nemra havara. Generally, it talks in the Lashon. Generally, the Pasuk talks in the Lashon of Nesina. However, over here, when the Torah is describing what happens to the Yerusha if there is no son, then it goes to the daughter. All of a sudden, by the Yerusha Sabbas, the Torah uses the Lashon of Havara. Why not? Because Ein Lecha Shemavir Nachla Meshevet Leshevet Elabas. The only Yoresh, the only person who inherits, who is going to actually cause a transfer of the nechasim from one shevet to the other, is the daughter. Why? Ho'elu b'no bala yarshinosa, because her son from a different marriage, and her because her son and her husband are going to be Yorisher. Because even though being Jewish is matrilineal, which shevet you're from, which whose yichus you have is patrilineal. And if you have a person from Shevet Reuven who marries a girl from Shevet Shimon, and then, so if they have a son, good. So then the son is also from Shevet Reuven. If they don't have a son, let's say if they only have a daughter, then the daughter is also from Shevet Reuven. But if she then marries a guy from Shevet Levi, then any kids that they have are going to be from Shevet Levi, and her husband's from Shevet Levi. So the Pasuk uses the word Vavartem because the only type of Yerusha that causes the Nechasim to exit the Shevet of the deceased and go to another Shevet is Yerusha Sabbas. That's why the Torah uses the strange Lashon of Vavartem. And it's not for this drasha of Matna Shchimera. So says the Gemara now, first wide line, V'Rav Zera my time alo Omar mi vinasatem. Now, why does Rav Zera learn from Vavartem? Why doesn't he learn from the word in the pasuk of vinasatem? Says the Gemara, Urcha dekrahu, because vinasatem is not really extra. In other words, that which you said, the argument that you made, that it should have said, Ish ki yamos ben ein lo Vavartem es nachloso levito vim ein lo bas, nachloso la'achiv, the Torah doesn't talk like that. It always says v'nasatem es nachloso, v'nasatem nachloso la'achiv. So it's not really extra. Rabbi Nasir bar Yirmiyah mar mehacha. Rabbi Nasir bar Yirmiyah gives a third source for matnas shchemira, which is midaraisa, as follows. By yamim ha'im chala Chizkiyo lamus. In those days, Chizkiyo was sick. He was about to die. V'yavo elav Yishayo ben Amos Hanavi. And Yishayo Hanavi went to Chizkiyo. V'yomer elav ko amar Hashem. This is what Hashem says. Tzav lebeischa kimeis ata. Go make any tzavos that you want, because you are going to die. V'lo tichye, and you're not going to survive. So what do we see from this pasuk? Bitzava bi'alma, that the division of property here, the bequeathing of all of his property, was able to be effectuated through only a tzava. What's a tzava? A tzava is a verbal command. So we see here from the Navi that in order to make the division of property by Yishchimira, you don't need a kinyan. All you need is a Savah B'Alma. All you need is Dvarim. And that's a source that Divrei Shchimira, that Amatna Shchimira, works even without a kinyan. And Rami Bar Yecheskel Amar Mehacha. And finally, Rami Bar Yecheskel says, we learn from here, V'Achitofel Ra Kilo Nasasatza. So Achitofel sided with Avshalom in Avshalom's rebellion against David HaMelech. But Achitofel saw that the rebellion was destined to fail. V'yechvash es hachamor, and he saddled up his donkey. V'yelech al beso el iro, and he went to his house in the city. V'yitzav es beso, and he commanded, he gave a tzava over to his household. And vayechnak, and he strangled himself. and he strangled himself. And again, from here, the diuk is vayetzav es beso, that Achitofel, he was considered to be a shchimira because he knew he was about to kill himself, he was about to commit suicide, and he was able to divvy up all his nechasim only by a tzavah bi'alma, but tzavah bi'alma even without a kinyan. So again, here's our fourth source, that matna shchimira is min haTorah. So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbana. Now that we mention Achitofel, we'll talk a little bit about Achitofel. Shlosha dvarim tziva Achitofel as banav. So Achitofel commanded his sons three different things. Number one, al tiyu b'machlokes. Number one, try not to get involved in machlokes. Again, from personal experience, he was speaking. And number two, also from personal experience, v'al timerdu b'malchus beis David. Don't rebel against Malchus beis David, because Achitofel was facilitating a rebellion against Malchus beis David through Avshalom, and we see how that worked out for Achitofel. Not well. So he was telling his kids, don't do that. The Yomtov Shalat Seres Baror, and the third thing that he said was that if the Yomtov of Shavuos falls on a clear day, Zaru Chitim, then you should plant Chitim because it's auspicious for the planting of Chitim. When Shavuos falls on a sunny day, on a day with a clear sky, Mar Zutra Amar Bolol. Rav Zutra says, even if it falls out on a cloudy day. So even if it falls out on a cloudy day, it's an auspicious time to plant chitin. What is this idea about Chag Shavuos being connected to an auspicious time or not to plant chitin? So on Shavuos we bring the carbon of shtei halechem, and the shtei halechem is brought from chitin, and therefore there's a connection between the crop of chitin and the yom tov of Shavuos. So if the yom tov of Shavuos falls out on a clear day, and that's when we bring the shtei alechem, it shows that it's a siman, that it's an auspicious time to plant wheat. So says the Gemara now. So we had two different shitas. One said that if it's a clear day, it's auspicious to plant wheat. The other said if it's a cloudy day, it's an auspicious time to plant wheat. What's going on? Zitmar Amri Nardoi Mishmeid Rav Yaakov Lo Bara Bara Mamish V'Lo Bolol Bolol Mamish. When we talk about it being a clear sky, we're not talking about a totally clear sky. When we talk about a cloudy sky, we're not talking about a totally cloudy sky. Ela Filu Bolol, even if it's cloudy, V'Ruach Tzfonis Menashavto, and the northern wind is blowing, then we know Zeu Barer, that's considered to be a clear sky. Why? Because if the northern wind is blowing, it's ultimately going to cause the clouds to scatter. Therefore, it has the status of a clear sky, because the sky is destined to clear. Therefore, it's an auspicious time to plant the wheat. So Amarle Rav Abba l'Rav Ashi. So Anan ad Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi masnisimlo. We learn this on Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Dam Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi. Rav Yitzchak bar Avdimi says like this: Motze Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag. On the last day of Motze Yom Tov Achron Shel Chag, on Motze Yom Tov after the last days of Sukkot, Hakol Tzof in La'ashana Maracha. Everybody looks at the Ashan of the Maracha. The Maracha is what they used to burn on the Mizbeach. So everybody looks at the pillar of smoke that was on top of the Maracha. Nota Klape Tzofon, if the smoke were pointing northward, then Aniyim Smechin, then the Aniyim would be happy. Ubalibatim Atsevin. And the Balabatim would be sad. Why? If the smoke was pointing northward, Bamnesha Gishme Shana Merubin. Because it was destined to rain a lot. So the Rashbam explains, Klape Tzofon Ruach Dromis Menasheves. But again, if the smoke is tilting to the north, then it shows that the southern wind, the wind that emanates from the south, is blowing, and it's blowing everything northward. Ruach Dromis Menasheves Bo Umateu Klape Tzofon, and is pushing it north, and that's a harbinger of a lot of rain, and that's why the Aniyim were happy and the Balabatim were sad. Why? Mnesha Gishmei Shana Merubim, because it was destined to rain a lot. Uperos Markivin, and you know that the peros are going to spoil. Why? Because when the ground is saturated with a lot of water, when it's so moist and so damp outside, it's impossible to keep peros for a long time. So what's going to happen if there's going to be a lot of rain and there's going to be a lot of peros, and it's going to be difficult to maintain the peros for a long time? The Balabatim are going to have to give away the peros to the Aniyim, because otherwise they're all going to spoil. That's why the Aniyim were very happy. Nota Klape Dorom, if they looked at the Ashan Maracha and it was pointed towards the south, meaning that the wind from the north was blowing, Aniyim Atzevim, the Aniyim were sad, Balabatim Smechen, the Balabatim were happy. Why? Mneshe Gishmei Shana Mu'atin, because it was going to rain less that year, Uperos Mishtamrim, and the Peros were going to be well preserved. And that's why the Balabatim were happy, because their produce was going to keep well. The Aniyim were sad, because there would be no impetus for the Balabatim to give away all of their peros to the Aniyim, because they would keep even in storage. Nota Klape Mizrach, if it would point towards the east, Hakol Smechin, everybody would be happy. And why is that? So says the Rashbam, Shema Ravis Mimateres Bemido Peros Enam Biyukar. Because again, if the Asha Maracha is tilting to the east, and it shows the wind is coming from the west, and the western wind, the wind that's coming from the west, it means that there's going to be an appropriate amount of rain, not too much, not too little, and the peros are therefore going to be evenly priced. They're not going to be very expensive. And then Klape Mara, finally, if the Asha Maracha was pointing towards the west, Hakol Atzev, and then everybody would be sad. And the Rashbam says, Shemizrachis Manas Matar, because the eastern wind that comes from the east and blows the Maracha to the west, it prevents the rain, Umaviyah Betzores, and it brings hunger, V'yokar Gadol Uperis Karka Einat Somchen. And it gets very, very expensive. And therefore the peros don't grow, and because the peros don't grow, the price of peros is very expensive. Alma, so what we see from this Gemara is that Mizrach is kasha and Maravis yafe. We said if the wind is blowing from the west, everybody's happy. If the wind is blowing from the east, everybody's sad. That's because the wind that comes from the east is bad. The wind that comes from the west is going to be good. So Veraminu, and we ask Akasha, Mizrachis Liolam Yafe, Ma'aravis Liolam Kashe, that we said the eastern wind is always good, which is a stira to what we just said in the Braisa. The western wind is always bad, again, which is a stira to what we said in the Braisa. Now the Gemara goes on a little tangent. Ruach Tzfonis, the northern wind, yafe lechitim, it's good for chitim, b'shah she'eviyu shlish, when they've already ripened the third, v'kosha lezesim, and it's difficult, it's hard for zesim, b'shah she'yanitsu, at the time when they're blossoming. And Ruach Dromis, the southerly wind, Kosha lechitin, it's hard for chitin b'shah she'eviyu shlish, in the time when they have already ripened the third, v'yafel ezesim, but it's beneficial for the olives b'shah she'yanitsu, at the time when they're blossoming. V'rama Rav Yosef v'yisema marzutra, and Rav Yosef says, or others say, it's marzutra v'yisema Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'simancha, and the simon is like this, shulchan b'tzafon u'menorah b'darom, the shulchan is in the north, and the menorah is in the south. And therefore, that the Ruach Tzvonis is good for what's in the north. The Shulchan is in the north. The Shulchan holds the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim is made of wheat. Therefore, if the northern wind blows, it's a siman that is beneficial for the wheat, but it's bad for the olives. What olives have to do with the menorah? Because you light the menorah, obviously, with Shemen Zayas. If the southern wind blows, then that's near where the menorah is in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's good for the Zaysim, and it's bad for the Chitin, because the Chitin are on the opposite side of the Beis HaMikdash. But that was only a tangent. What we saw was that this brisa says the eastern wind is good and the western wind is bad. The brisa that we had before said the eastern wind is bad and the western wind is good. So how do you reconcile that? So it says, it just says the Gemara, four lines up from the bottom. So hai mar b'didei v'hai mar b'didei, that each one, that the northern wind cultivates what's near to it, i.e. the wheat, and the southern wind cultivates what's near to it, i.e. the olives, because the menorah is bedurim. So it says the Gemara, lo kasha, halon v'halahu, it's no kasha. One is for Eretz Yisrael, one is talking about the people in Bavel. So says the Rashbam, three lines up. Halon, the Bnei Bavel hashochnin b'metzula. So the Bnei Bavel who live in the valley, v'artzenu meluchleches, and our land is already moist. V'enetzrich lamatar kolkach, and it doesn't require that much rain. L'didan, ma'sina b'raisa basraisa. That is where the second brisa was learned from the perspective of the people who live in Bavel. Shamarav is kasha, that the western wind is kasha. Why? Because the western wind brings rain, but in Bavel, where the land's already saturated, they don't necessarily need a lot of rain, and that's why the western wind is difficult for them. And the eastern wind is good for them because the eastern wind is a harbinger that not much rain is going to come. They don't need much rain because their land's already saturated anyway. That's why it's good for the Bnei Bavel. Ubraisa kamaisa, and the first brisa, the Masnia Ifcha, where we learn the opposite, that the eastern wind is bad and the western wind is good, is Levnei Eretz Yisrael. That's according to the perspective of the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Sha'artzam gavoa, because their land is very high, v'tzrich l'matar harbe, they require a lot of rain, and if you require a lot of rain, you're going to want the western wind to blow, because the western wind is what portends a lot of rain. They're going to be sad if the eastern wind blows, because the eastern wind portends not as much rain, not as good for the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So says the Gemara now, Vayter, three lines up. Tanya, Abishol Omer, Yom Tov Shel Atzeres Barur, Simin Yofa L'Kol HaShana Kula. If there's a clear day, if it's a clear sky on Shavuos, then it's a Simin Yofa for the entire year. Amar Rav Zvid, Hayom Akama Derei Shasa, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Ichamim, if it's hotter than usual, Kuli Shasa Chamima. The entire year is going to be hotter than usual. Ikarir, if it's cooler than usual, then Kuli Shata Karira, then the entire year is going to be cooler than usual. L'mai nafkamina, unless I'm a meteorologist, of what significance is this, is the fact that it's going to be warmer than usual or cooler than usual? Says the Gemara, L'tfila Shel Kohen Gadol. It's relevant for the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. What's that? So says the Rashbam on the top, Shayim Espala B'yom Kippurim on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would make a tefillah, Shetehiyah Shana Zu Geshuma Ushchuna, that he would daven that there should be ample rain and it should be temperate in that year. V'yata Lafiyah Inyan Sheyira B'Rosh Hashanah Yispal B'yom Kippurim. Now, according to what we see on Rosh Hashanah, where we see if it's hotter than usual, then el daven it shouldn't be too hot. If it's cooler than usual, el daven it should be a little bit warmer. So that the Kohen Gadol should know on Yom Kippur what to daven about based on what we saw in Rosh Hashanah. Tosfa says, the Litzvila Social Kohen, She Yispalel Shem Chama Lo Tiyah Chama Yoser Midai, Vim Kriru Yoti Charira Yoser Midai. Right? In other words, what Tosfa is saying is it's not that he's going to daven it shouldn't be hot, or it shouldn't be cold, because we just said if it's hot on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be hot. The Kohen Gadol can't reverse that with his tefillah. What Tosfos is saying is no, he can't reverse it, but he could still daven that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should moderate it. In other words, yeah, maybe it'll be hot, but try not to make it that hot, Rabbanu Shalom, that it's going to be oppressive to everybody. So says the Gemara in Avaiter, top line, Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Rava, now again, on Amud Aleph, we have four different sources For the idea of matna shchimera, that you could give a matna shchimera, that the matana works even without a kinyan. Now Rava is going to say in the name of Rav Nachman that it's only drabanan. But Rava Amar Rav Nachman matna shchimera midrabanan bi almahi. The matna shchimera works only midrabanan. Shema titrav daito alav. Lest the shchimera be distressed. So says the Rashbam over here that the idea shakone ba mira bi alma ina mina Torah mikroy dilel etzitova kamash malan. And I how about all the psukim that we had on the previous amud? So all the psukim is only talking about an etzitova. In other words, when we spoke about Chizkiyo and Achitofel, that he was making a tzava, it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to learn from that. Oh, that he was making a tzava, and that was a halacha mida araisa, that type of matana worked even without a kinnin. He was just giving an etzitova. If you're near the end of your life and you know that your demise is near and you need to get your affairs in order, make sure you get your affairs in order. Make all the tzavos that you have to. Sheitzaveh lebeisu b'shas misoso masha yeshlo. The tzavos, hein al yidei kinyin, hein al yidei dibur, kagon dvarim, shein tzricha kinyin, shodam adil of nebeiso, michayevlo klum, imamona v'chafotza b'yad mi, v'eicha menachin. Ela midrabanan bi'alma, koneg zera, but the actual kinyin is only midrabanan. Gzeira shema achi yavo edim liknos titorav daito shalchola kodim shiaviu v'leyuchala haknos benimtza tzavosa betela. And says the Rashbam, the whole reason that we are misakein that a matna shchimera works without a kinyan is because lest we find ourselves waiting for the edim to come so that the guy can make a kinyan, and then the chola is going to be going out of his mind. What if the edim don't get her? I'm not going to be able to give the nechasim over to who I wanted to. It's going to be a source of great distress, and therefore it's going to be a source of great distress, and that's why they were masakin the matna shchimera. Says the Rashbam, v'kashali mabakach imti botel me'achar she'ina kone ba'mira tibotel v'tibotel. Okay, so says the Rashbam, so he's going to be upset. What's he going to be upset about? That he couldn't make a kinyan without a kinyan. But if you need a kinyan, then there has to be a kinyan. Why do I care that he's going to be upset? So says the Rashbam, v'lishnachuina mafarshinan v'nira be'enai t'lachi tikkun rabban and sheikhnu dvarav ba'mira. This is why the rabban were masakin. Shem ein dvarav niknin chashinan shema titrav daito b'chol yav mitoch tsar shu yodea shlo yakaimu banav tzavoso. Says the Rashbam that the Rabbanan were gozer that it should work without a kinyan because we're afraid that he's going to experience that level of tsar, and in order to guard him from experiencing that level of tsar, we say fine, we are going to abide by his words even without a kinyan. Good, so it's only midrabbanan. So says the Gemara now, three lines from the top. Umi Amar Rav Nachman Hachi, the Rav Nachman say that it's only midrabanan. The Amar Rav Nachman, Afal Gav the Amar Shmuel, even though Shmuel says like this, Hamocher Shtar Chov L'Chaveiro. Let's say if a person sells a Shtar Chov to his friend. So Ruvain Oshimon $100, and there's a Shtar, and now Shimon sells the Shtar to Levi. So that Shtar in the hands of Levi entitles him to the $100 from Ruvain. But then Shimon does a very weaselly thing. So Shimon sells the shtar that Reuven owes him $100 to Levi, and then Shimon says to Reuven, "You don't owe me the money. It's fine. I'm ochel." So what happens? Machel. It's machel. It works. So Levi can no longer collect $100 from Reuven. Tosfa says, "Well, you can't sell a shtar to somebody else and then be mochel without any financial repercussion." So Tosva says, you have to either return the amount of money that Levi paid Shimon for the shtar, or maybe Shimon then has to give Levi the amount of money in the shtar, but as between Reuven and Shimon, the mechila works. The filu yoresh mochel. And even a yoresh can be mochel. So Mode Shmuel, Shem Nosnu b'matna shchimera. But Shmuel agrees that if you give over the shtar as a matna shchimera, the eina yochel mochro, then in that case, the shchimera is not able to be mochel on the chov. So even though usually if you sell a shtar chov to somebody else, the seller's allowed to be mochel on the chov, and it's a valid mechila, if the person gives over the shtar as a matna shchimera, then he loses all ownership of it. Why? So, in other words, the point is, when a person sells the shtar chov, he still has a little bit of bailus over the chov, and therefore he could be mochalit. But when the person is giving it over as a matnas chimera, he's relinquishing himself totally from the chov, and therefore he loses the ability to be mochal on the chov. So says the Gemara, I amrit bishlam adaraisa mishamachin yachalimchal. I understand if matnas chimera works midaraisa, then if Manas Chimera works midaraisa, that's why the guy's not able to be mochel, because the giver of the Matnas Chimera loses all of his bailus, and the Makabel Matnas Chimera, he now has all of the bailus like a Yoresh. And that's why we said earlier in the Braisa, Vafilu Yoresh Mochel, because he has all the bailus over the object. Eli Amrit Rabbanan, Hai Amai Eina Yocholimkol, but if man the shchimira works only midrabanan, so why can the shchimira not be mochel any longer after he gave the matana? It should be like a regular case of where the guy gives the shtar over to a third party. The guy who gives the shtar should still maintain the bailus, and he should still be able to cause the chov to be mochel. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a kasha. That ain't a shel Torah vasu shel Torah. No, it's not midaraisa. But again, what's the whole reason that they made this takana matnas chimera? So that the guy should have a certain amount of isha vadas, he shouldn't be troubled. So in other words, the whole point is, when we say that matnas chimera is not midaraisa, it's only midrabanan, we're not saying that it doesn't work. It does work without a kinyan. The reason that it works without a kinyan is not midaraisa, it's only a gzeira shema titra of daito. It's because we're afraid of the guy's mental well-being and emotional well-being. But now that we said that we made the takana midrabanan shema titra of daito, it has the same status as if it were daraisa. They patterned it as if it were midaraisa, and therefore it's as if he's relinquishing himself totally from the bailus of the item. It's like the makabel matana as the bailus, and that's why even though usually if you sell a shtar chov, you are allowed to be mochel on the chov. If you give it over as a matnas chimera, you are relinquishing all bailus. You are not able any longer to be mochel the chov. All right, so let's stop here. It's a good stopping point. Rabbi Leibowitz will pick up from Amar Rava tomorrow, God willing.